welcome, man. It's great to have you here with us today. I want to welcome you here in the West Venue and those over in the East Venue and those that are joining us right now on our online stream. Great to have you as well, too. If we haven't met before, my name is Mark. I'm one of the pastors here at C3. And today we are in week three of a series that we started 2 weeks ago at the beginning of October, and we're going to end it next week. We're calling it this, Change Your Thinking, Change Your Life. And we've been looking in Scripture, in the Bible, we've been looking at a lot of the writings of this guy named Paul. Now, let me kind of just bring us up to speed on Paul. Paul is a very interesting duck. He shows up in Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John are the four Gospels about Jesus. And then right after Jesus died and rose again and ascended to heaven, it goes into Acts. And in Acts, we see where Paul shows up. And what was happening is that the early church was starting to form and all the Christians were gathering together. And Paul did not agree with this, did not believe Jesus was Son of God, all this stuff. And so he was arresting Christians, putting many of them to death. And then Jesus showed up and literally turned Paul upside down. And Paul ended up becoming a follower of Jesus Christ, not because of the Bible, but because he lived it. He was there. He saw Jesus. He spoke to Jesus. And because of that, he became a follower of Jesus Christ, and he started churches all over the then known world. And then he'd write letters to the different churches that he had started. Last week, we talked about how Paul had a plan. A plan that he had was he wanted to go to Rome because Rome was kind of like the Mecca center, kind of like the place that is over all of the then known world at that time. And he goes, I want to go to Rome and I want to preach to the leaders in Rome. And many of them, I believe, are going to get saved and come into relationship with Jesus. And then they will start telling other people. And because the leaders in Rome are now Christians, the then known world at the time, he thought, would all become Christian as well. So he goes to Rome. That was his plan, right? He goes to Rome, and what we found out, if you're here last week, is his plan didn't work the way he thought. He goes to Rome, and instead he's arrested. And he's on house arrest, and he has a different soldier, chained to his arm every 8 hours. And he's going, this wasn't my plan. And we talked last week about sometimes how you and I have plans that don't quite work out, and we don't understand why. This is kind of where he was at. God, I had a plan. I was going to get all the Roman people saved, of the leaders, and they were going to tell everybody else, and it's just going to go amazing. God, why am I being under house arrest, and why do I have this guy chained to my arm for 8 hours, and then a different one another 8 hours? But then all of a sudden, he realized what he was doing. He was preaching for 8 hours to the Roman guard on his arm. And last week I posed the question, if Paul was here today, you know, he'd probably ask us this question. So who do you think is really the prisoner? Is it me or is it this guy that's chained to me for 8 hours, right? And what we found out through Scripture is that these guys, these Roman soldiers that were tied to his arm, that were chained to his arm for 8 hours a day, he would preach to. And then when they were let go, they would go and they would talk to the leaders of Rome. So it was still getting to the leaders. It just kind of was going through these Roman soldiers. And all of a sudden, Paul realizes, even though it wasn't my plan, God's plan was better. And we talked about last week, sometimes we have plans and they don't just work out the way we want it. And sometimes we go, God, why? Can I just remind you, sometimes God's way is better. In fact, I would dare to say all the time, God's way is better. So Paul writes a lot about our thinking, about our mind, about things that we have planned that don't work out. We talked about some of those things in the last couple of weeks. If you missed any of those, I encourage you to go on our website, get the videos, get the notes, because what we're talking about today and what we've been talking about this whole month is really helping us. I've had so many emails and people writing on connection cards going, thank you for this series because I've been struggling with my mind and stuff, my thoughts. This I know is hitting something that many, if not all of us, need. And today I'm going to look back at Paul again because Paul writes a lot of stuff when it comes to our mind and our thinking. And I want to start with one of those. It's in Philippians 4. This is while he was in chains. And here's what it says. Paul writes this. Do not be anxious. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And, yes, in other words, if you do this, then this will happen. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, which is beyond human comprehension, will transcend all understanding, will guard your hearts and your, say it with me, what? And your what? And your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, now hit pause. When we say, when he's writing finally, brothers and sisters, is he writing to his siblings? No. This is insider term. This is where he's writing to other Christians, other people who are followers of Jesus Christ. Now, you may be here today, and you may not have a relationship with God. And I'm going to tell you that's okay, because at some point, every one of us have been that way. But you're probably sitting in a venue somewhere, or maybe online, you know some people that you know have a relationship with God. Every person that you know has a relationship with God at some point didn't have a relationship with God. But they were kicking the tires, they were exploring to see if God was really real. And many people, if you're in one of the venues right now, you probably are surrounded by people that are going, yeah, I used to do that, and I came to the point where I believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior, the Son of God. And they put their faith in Jesus. And you may be here, again, exploring. You're not a brother or sister. You're not a Christian yet, but you're exploring. We welcome you. Every week we have people here that are exploring, that are kicking the tires. Maybe you had a relationship with God at some point and something happened. Maybe God didn't perform the way you thought, or maybe your life just got hectic or whatever, and you kind of drifted off away from God. But you're coming back and kind of exploring to see if you really want that relationship with God again. We welcome you. But let me tell you, that's not who this is written to. What Paul is writing to when he says, brothers and sisters, finally, brothers and sisters, he's talking to other followers of Christ. That's who he's talking to. Finally, other Christians, brothers and sisters. And then he tells them what to do. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, what are we supposed to do? Think. We're supposed to think. We're supposed to focus on such things. And then he goes on and says this. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, Paul is saying, put it into practice. In other words, what I do, you do. Because I learned this from God. God has shown me this is what works for me. And if you do this, this will work for you. And if you do this, and then he says the last line, what will happen? And the peace of God will be with you. Say that with me. And the peace of God will be with you. This is what God talks about. God tells us this is how we are to speak. This is how we are to think. This is how we are to pray. This is how we change our thinking. Paul writes a lot about our thinking and about prayer and all these different things. This is stuff that obviously God knows that we have a struggle with this. God knows that we have a problem with sometimes our thinking and how we handle things. Let me give you an example. Let's say you're a college student and you've got a test coming up. And as you are studying for your test, you are like kind of freaking out because this is like a hard test for you. And you're like trying to remember all this information and stuff, but it's just not getting it all. And so all of a sudden you just like, you know, it's like middle of the night. You've been up all night just trying to get this thing crammed for the next day's test. And you just can't get it. And you're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to do terrible on this test. And if I don't do good on this test, I may not graduate. And if I don't graduate, nobody may want to marry me. And if I never get married, I'll never have kids. Or maybe somehow if I have kids, then I got to think about at some point when they get a little bit older, unless I homeschool, I'm going to have to put them into a school. And I don't know if I want them in a school because, you know, there's sex, drugs, and rock and roll. You know, there's drugs, there's violence, there's school shootings we see all over the country and stuff. I'm just kind of concerned about it. I just don't know if I want to do that. And then when the kid gets a little bit older, they're going to be like driving and they're going to want a car. And then when they graduate high school, they're going to go to college and I'm going to have to pay for their college, and I'm still paying on my college, and oh, my head hurts thinking about this. I wonder if I have a tumor, and then all of a sudden, it just kind of goes on and on, right? Amen. That's right. Yeah. Let me tell you, is that just me that sometimes my mind wanders off like that, or does it sometimes yours too? Sometimes we have one little thing, one little problem, one little struggle right here, And it all of a sudden just mushrooms, it just keeps going. And all of a sudden you're like, I didn't realize I had all these problems. You don't. You got this one, but you're thinking there's so many more. Why do we do that? Why do we worry? Why do we have fear? Why do we have anxiety? Why do we have these types of things? Let me give you something for your notes in case you haven't been here for the last couple weeks, because this will kind of help you bring you up to speed where we've gone. Your life will always move in the direction of your strongest thoughts. Now that's good if you think what Paul says. Think about what's good and righteous and pure and all these things. If you do what Paul just did, what we talked about here, all of a sudden it's like, yeah, that will move your life in the way of your strongest thoughts, because it's good, it's positive. But what happens if it's the other? What happens if all of a sudden you're thinking on negative things, sinful things, things that are bad, just like this? Oh, I'm not going to be able to make my test. I'm going to flunk. Then I'm not going to get married. And then all of a sudden you start thinking all those things. That will lead your life in the direction of your strongest thoughts too. And it's not going to be a good thing. Where are your thoughts? Are you thinking what Paul is doing, thinking on pure and noble and what God says about us? Or do we listen to what the enemy says, who loves to give us fear? Now, what's interesting is this, is that this week, I had a question as I was putting the message together. I had a question about where does fear come from? We know it comes from the enemy. But there's got to be something in our makeup, how God created us, that causes us to fear. So I did what you would do. I asked Google, right? And what I found out, I'm going to put up on the screen. What I found out is in every one of our brain, there's this little kind of almond-shaped or pea-shaped type thing in our brain that's called amygdala. Can you say amygdala with me? Amygdala. Very kind of weird little name. But here's what it does. This is something that God put in your brain and in my brain. And what it causes or creates fear, but it's a good fear. What it does is it creates fear for survival, right? So if you're like, you know, if you're like out in the summertime and somebody's doing s'mores and stuff and they got a campfire, if you didn't have this, you would walk right into that fire, right? Or if there's a cliff, you just walk right off the cliff. But yet God gave us this fear, this little amygdala thing in our head that helps us to have fear for survival. So let me give you an example. Let's say today you're going up Badger Mountain. You're climbing up there. And all of a sudden as you're climbing up there, you look down, right? You look down and what you see down before you is a snake. What you're probably not going to do is go, oh, what a cute little snake. You're not going to do that, right? Right? Instead, the amygdala kicks in and it goes, get out of there, you're going to die. You're going to get bit. You're going to die. Get out of here. So it's a survival mode. So you want to get away from the snake so you don't get bit. It's actually a good fear that we have. Some of you this morning, as you're coming to church, you may have been coming this way to church and somebody's coming the opposite direction and they weren't paying attention. They're maybe like texting into your lane. And all of a sudden, this amygdala kicks in and goes, you're going to die, swerve! All right, that's what happens. Get out of the way so you don't die. Now, if you're at home at night, you're in bed, lights are out, you're asleep, 2 o'clock in the morning, you hear a noise downstairs, the amygdala kicks in, you're going to die! Get under the bed! Grab the lamp and start throwing it like nunchucks. I mean, do something to protect yourself, right? That is what this amygdala does. It helps us to have fear, but a proper fear to be able to live, to survive. That's what that thing is for. But then what, as I was doing my Google research, now again, I'm not a doctor, but I play one on TV. So but here's the thing. I also found another part. Now, it called it two different things online. So it's either called the frontal lobe or the prefrontal lobe, whichever one you want to call it. But right in the front of your brain, right here, this part of the body or of the brain actually is more soothing and calming. This is more of the voice of reason, okay? So if you have something going on, you have something happening, like it's like late at night again, you hear a noise downstairs. Again, the amygdala, the first thing we talked about, jumps up and says, somebody's in the house, you're going to die. The prefrontal lobe, or the frontal lobe, is the voice of reason. No, nobody's in the house. Everything's fine. It's probably just the cat downstairs. And then all of a sudden, you got to figure out, okay, what are we going to do with that cat? Which, honestly, you should have figured that out before you got the cat, right? I mean, you really should have done that. But the frontal lobe, or the prefrontal lobe, is more of the voice of reason. It kind of offsets the amygdala, which gives us fear for survival. It's not that bad. It's just the cat. It's just whatever. Let me give you a story. I mean, some things can trigger us. When I was 10 years old, my family and I, we went off on a vacation for about a week or so, and we came back home. We lived out in the country. And we came back home. It was late at night. It was probably around 10 or 11 because we had to fly in, and it was just late getting home. And so we finally land. We get out to where we live, and as soon as we walk in, we see one of our back windows is just shattered and broken. And we start walking around and realize that we'd been burglarized. And that's an odd feeling. In fact, let me just ask you, how many of you have ever been burglarized in your house? Okay, so you kind of probably know the feeling. So you get home, you see the broken window, you see the stuff is missing. So here it is, like 11 o'clock at night, we're home, and we're having to go around and start taking inventory of what's been stolen and checking everything out and trying to clean up the mess that they left and all that stuff. And then what's even weirder, because now it's about midnight or so, you're going to bed knowing that somebody at some point broke in and that window's still broken. And are they going to come back? And so that's kind of a weird feeling, right? Well, then over time, over the next few weeks, my older brother, some of his friends had heard that it was a guy from my brother's class that broke into our house. Well, we told the cops. Again, by then it's like a month later. They talked to the guy, but he didn't confess. They couldn't pinpoint if it was really him or not. But the friends that told my brother said, yes, it's so-and-so. And my brother said, you know, Mark, you've probably seen his vehicle. He drives an old white van. Well, I wish he wouldn't have told me that. Because like for the next like 6 months, every time I see an old white van, I started getting nervous. Like, is that him? Is he going to come back? Is he going to kill us? All this kind of stuff, right? Sometimes we have fear. We have anxiety for stuff we're going through now. Sometimes we have fear and anxiety because of things we think is going to happen in the future. But sometimes things are triggers of anxiety and fear from past things. Now, I'm going to tell you, I mean, when I see an old white man, I don't get scared anymore. But some things can trigger us from the past. How does God want us to handle this? How does God want us to deal with this? Do we listen to the amygdala that is saying, oh, get out of here, fear? Or do we listen to the frontal lobe that's going, relax. It's not as bad. And look, can I tell you something? God made both of them to kind of offset each other. Because if everything is fine, you're going to walk off the cliff. If everything is terrible, you're going to be scared all the time. But God gave us both to be able to balance each other out. What an amazing God that is. And he gave that to you, and he gave that to me. You see, a lot of times we get so afraid, but can I tell you, sometimes even when we read scripture, we read it and we think it says something that it doesn't say. Like, for example, Jesus did not say this. Jesus did not say, let your hearts be troubled. Jesus did not say that, but sometimes because of the way our thinking is and the way that we look at life, that's kind of how we read it. That Jesus says, oh, let my heart be troubled. That's not what he says. You know what Jesus actually said? Let me tell you what it says. Jesus said this. Jesus said instead, do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And then when you come to Christmas, remember at Christmas time we always celebrate Jesus' birth. And remember, if you remember the story, the shepherds were out watching all the sheep and the angels showed up. And when the angels appeared to the shepherds, what they did not say is glory to God in the highest, stress and anxiety on earth. That is not what they said. But what did they say? The angel showed up and said glory to God in the highest. What did they say? Peace. Peace on earth. Not anxiety, no, peace. And then we also see what Paul just wrote. We read that. Paul didn't say, be anxious about everything. Instead, what did Paul actually say? We read just a little bit ago. Do not be anxious about anything. Do not. What are you looking at? Do you Are you looking more at the positive or the negative? Are you focused on what Scripture tells us to, what's right, what's pure, what's noble? Or are you thinking of other things? Because your life will go in the direction of your strongest thoughts. And that could be good or bad. So let's look back at this passage in Philippians 4 that we read at the beginning. And just look at it once again, because I'm going to tell you, I would encourage you maybe this week, every day this week, just read this passage, verses 6 through 7. Because there's a lot of meat in here. Paul says, do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, that means when you don't have enough money. That means when your kid is going sideways. That means when your relationship maybe isn't as strong as it used to be. Your job is kind of being funny. In every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. You can't understand it. I can't understand it. It transcends all our understanding. Will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. See, Paul's going, I've lived this. This is what God has shown me. This is what I want to show you now. This is something that God has shown me that I want to show you. If you live this way, man, this will change your life. And when you change your thinking, it'll change everything else. But when we talk about prayer, the answer is, why don't we pray? Why don't we pray? You see, when we go through a struggle, I know it's not you, it's probably those people around you. But when we go through struggles, what happens is, when we go through struggles, we kind of try to take care of it ourselves. We like try to work on it, fix it however we can. And then when it doesn't work, we step back and we say to somebody like this, we go, well, I guess all we can do now is pray. Well, you've heard that too. Guess all we can do now is pray. In other words, I guess God's our last resort. And I can just picture God in heaven going, oh, poor you. You know, I'm the only one you got. You're screwed. You're never going to get anything now. I mean, no. Can I help us understand something here? Prayer should not be our last resort. Prayer should be our first offense. Do you understand what Scripture talks about when it comes to prayer? When it comes to prayer, here's what it talks about. It talks about how God has, through prayer, allowed us to literally enter into the throne room of God and to be able to bring to Him anything we want to talk about, anything we need help with. Maybe we don't even need help. We just want to talk to God. We can come before the throne room of God. Do you realize what that means? You can come before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the King of the universe, your heavenly daddy, your heavenly father, the one who created everything by just simply speaking. He's given you and me, every person on this earth, opportunity to come straight to Him to talk about whatever we want to talk about. And yet what happens? We don't. Because whenever struggles or difficulties or problems come, instead we're going to do it ourselves, we're going to fix it ourselves, and when it doesn't work, then we're like, oh, I guess the only thing I can do now is just pray. God's going, whew, thanks for the vote of confidence. Right? This is what God's calling. God says, no, don't be the, I don't want to be your last resort. This should be your first offense. This is what we should, you want to get me involved right away. Turn it over to me. Let me help you with this. As I was working on the message this week, I came across a book. It's called Switch on Your Brain. It's by a guy named Dr. Leaf. And in his book, this is what he says. It says, it's been found that 12 minutes of daily focused prayer over an 8-week period can change the brain so much in extent that it could be measured on a brain scan. What if you were to pray for 12 minutes a day for the next 8 weeks? Would it change you? This doctor's saying it would. It would even show up on a brain scan. What if we did? What if we actually prayed? What if we actually spent time with God? What if we actually talked with God? What if we actually did what Paul's talking about? What if we did this stuff? Romans 12, Paul says this. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed. How? How can I be transformed, Paul? Tell me how. He says, would you be quiet? I'll tell you. He says, by the, say what? Say with me. By the what? Renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. You can be transformed. You can be different. You can have different patterns by being transformed, by the renewing of your mind. So why do we worry? Why do we worry? Let me tell you what worry is. Let me give you something for your notes. Worry is the sin of distrusting the promises and power of God. That means that we don't trust God. We worry because we do not trust God in what he can do or what he promises to do. We feel like, yeah, God's just maybe like this big. He can only do a few things. Can I tell you, you need to get a bigger God. Because so often we just distrust God because we always take it back. Let me give you a verse. Romans 8, it says this. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, think about things that please the Spirit. So, he writes, so letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, control your mind leads to, say it with me, life and peace. So basically, which one are you going to choose? This is what Paul is putting before us. Are we going to choose sinful thoughts that lead to death? Or are we going to let the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, control our mind, control that will lead to life and peace? Which one do you want? I would think if anybody was a rational thinking person, they're going, I want life and peace. I don't want all that other stuff. That is too hard. But yet why? We seem to have anxiety all the time. We seem to have depression. We seem to have worry and fear and all these types of things. How did we get to this point? How did we get to this point? Sometimes we say, well, I'm going to give it to God. And you do, in a way. But let's be honest. You have something that's on your heart as a struggle. And you say, I'm going to give it to you, God. But you know really what happens? If God hasn't figured it out and fixed it for you, like within the next couple hours, what do? We take it back. God, I gave it to you like 2 hours ago. Come on. Come on. But instead, when that happens, I'm going to take it back. Can I give you kind of an application, something that I would encourage you to try to do? When we give something to God, what if we try to make it really tangible for us? So let me just give you an example here. This is a high-tech thing here. This is where we have Kleenex, but it's an empty Kleenex box. You could do a box that would be more like a shoe box, whatever you want to have. But I want to encourage you, get some sort of box and write God on it and put it there somewhere in your bedroom or wherever you want. And then whenever you have struggles, difficulties, problems, I would encourage you, write it down on a piece of paper. You take it, and now you're physically giving it to God, right? Maybe you have something with your 17-year-old kid. They're going sideways. You write that down, you tear it, you put it in the God box because that's symbolically showing I'm giving it to you, God. Maybe you have financial problems. Oh, God, I don't know how we're going to pay the rent or the mortgage. You write that down and you give it to God. Your marriage isn't doing so good. You're struggling with your husband. You're struggling with your wife, your boyfriend, your girlfriend. You write that down and you give it to God. Now, here's what's going to happen. And you already know this. Sometime in the next night or two, you're going to wake up around 3 a.m. and you're going to be thinking about one or more of these things that you put in the box. And you're like, I gave it to God, but I haven't seen any movement yet. I haven't seen anything happen. And so you and your mind are going, I need to take it back. And that's okay. That's your prerogative. If you choose to take it back from God, here's what I'm encouraging why to do this. Because if you at 3 o'clock in the morning, you wake up and for an hour, you've been tossing and turning, thinking about that, I gotta do something. I gotta take this back over. Then here's what I want you to do. I want you to get out of your nice warm bed, walk across the room and reach your hand in there and physically take the one out that you don't want God to have anymore. All of a sudden, it becomes more real. All of a sudden, you realize putting it in there, I'm giving it to God, but when I take it back out, I'm taking it. and I'm not having God do it anymore. It's symbolic to you. It helps you to really realize what you are doing. Would that help? What if we all did this? Because all of a sudden we're going, I can just see God going, why are you taking that back? I'm not done. I want to still work on this. Why do you think you can do better? So can I give you some application? Can I give you some, how do we work on all this? I'm going to give you three things and we're going to wrap up here. I'm going to give you a three-piece of a philosophy to live by. First one is this. First one is that if there's anything that I can do, I'm going to do what I can do. If there's anything in my situation, my struggle, my problem, if there's anything that I can do, I'm going to do what I can do. So, for example, if I'm sick, I'm going to go to the doctor eventually. Men? That's the man right there, huh? We'll go eventually. If it, you know, if something falls off, I'll go, you know, but that's something we can do. If we have some sort of sickness or something wrong, we can do something. We can go to the doctor. That's something that we can do. If you are a student and you have like a big exam coming up, what can you do? You can study. You may not remember everything on the exam, but you can remember part of it. But that is something that you can actually do. If you have financial issues, what is something you can do? You can join FPU, Financial Peace University, one of our small groups here. You can cut up your credit cards. You can start spending less. You can make a budget, which is, then there's the next part of that one that's really just crazy. You make a budget, and then you actually live by it, right? Because you know you made budgets before, but you haven't lived by it. But you, those are things you can do, right? So we can, so the first thing is we do what only we can do. The second thing we do is this, is then we're going to give to God what I can't do. I do what I can do, and then I give the rest to God that I can't do, right? So I can't heal people. So if my loved one or a friend of mine has a disease or a sickness or cancer, I can't heal cancer, but God can if he wants to. So I only do what I can do, and then I let God do what only he can do. And then the last part is simply this, is that, and then I'm going to trust God no matter what. I do what I can do, I give God to do what only he can do, and then I just trust him. I trust him to do what he's going to do. You see, if you are worried, if you're a person that worries a lot, can you just imagine what Paul is talking about, having peace of mind? If you are tired of anxiety and worry and fear, what if you just tried these things? What if you just read these verses that we talked about today that Paul wrote? What if you actually started applying those things? You could possibly have this crazy, amazing thing called peace of mind. And can I tell you, that's what God wants you to have. But really, honestly, the choice is yours. Let's pray. So Father, right now, as we wrap up our time together today, we know that you're a good God. We know that you're an amazing God. And we thank you, God, just even today as we talked about how you created us, how you gave us the amygdala and you gave us this prefrontal lobe and how these two work together. So it just kind of keeps us in balance. Lord, I thank you for that. You created us in a crazy, amazing way. Thank you. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for all that you do for us. God, I pray right now for those on the online stream or in one of our venues right now. I pray that you'd help those who are struggling with fear and anxiety and depression and worry and all these things. Lord, I pray that you would help them. May they apply what we talked about today. May they apply what we've talked about the last couple of weeks. May they focus on these verses that tell us how we can have help. Because, Lord, our life, you know this, our life will go in the direction of our strongest thoughts, good or bad. So would you help us to reshape our thoughts and our mind and our heart, and may you be honored and glorified because this is your heart for us to be free from all this. Thank you, God, for that. Now, Lord, today, you know who's here today that do not know you. They're here exploring you, or maybe they had a relationship with you one time but wandered off. But, God, today, there's some right now in the sound of my voice that they know that today is their day. They know that today is their day for them to come into a relationship with you. And they feel your presence. They know that your heart. They know that you love them. And so, Jesus, those that know that today is their day, they pause themselves right now and they bow their heart and they say, "Dear Jesus, forgive me. Thank you for what you did when you died on the cross and you paid for my sin. So I don't have to. I can now have a relationship, Jesus, with you forever and ever and ever. God, thank you for how you created me. Thank you that you love me. Thank you that you pursue me. Lord, I pray for those that are right now coming into this relationship with you. May they sense your presence. May they feel your arms and your love surrounding them right now. So, Father, I thank you for those that are making that decision today, and we all give you praise and glory. In your amazing name we pray.